Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. See how banks are helping small businesses see a stronger tomorrow at iowabankers.com.
From Iowa Public Radio News, this is Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble.
Welcome to the House Appropriations Subcommittee today.
Republican Representative David Kerr chairs the Education Appropriations Subcommittee. Joining this meeting are the presidents to Iowa's three public universities.
President Mark Nook, UNI, Wendy Winterstein from Iowa State University, and Bruce Harreld, president of the University of Iowa. He's got on his colors today, and he might need, yeah. They all do, don't they? Yes, they do. I didn't see that.
The three presidents present slides highlighting each other's schools' achievements, enrollment, changes due to the pandemic, and most importantly, their budget.
We were able to save some money with some expense reductions. We also had dollars coming in from the federal government, from the CARES Act.
University of Northern Iowa President Mark Nook says 65% of UNI's students graduate in 4 years.
They're spending less money. But that also means the state is spending less money on each of them because they're only using state resources for 4 years instead of 5 or 6.
There are many sources of university funding, but the area President Nook is here to talk about is the state appropriation, which this committee will later propose. Last year, UNI received a state appropriation of $98 million.
So our state appropriation request for this coming year is to replace the $1.5 million that was removed from the state appropriation a year ago, put that back in, and an additional $4 million. And if we can do that, we are pretty certain that we can hold our tuition flat if we can get that level of support.
Iowa State University President Wendy Winterstein says COVID-19's financial impact on the university is $90 million. She says some of that will be offset by reductions in salary, benefits, and early retirement. As to what this appropriations subcommittee can do for ISU.
We're asking the state to increase the investment in our general education appropriation by $7 million, to do the backfill of the $3.2 million reduction from the last fiscal year.
ISU's total request for the new fiscal year is $179 million. The University of Iowa is asking for an increase of $10 million, bringing their total fiscal year 2022 to $222 million. U of I President Bruce Harreld summarizes the total request for the three regent universities.
I'm confident that the board's request of $8 million to restore the cut from last year that we got, and the $18 million of new resources is a quite measured appeal. It scratches the surface of what the issues have been.
There are a lot of numbers flying around, but the total the three presidents want is an additional $26 million in higher education general university appropriations. The total allocation to the three universities' higher education appropriation would be $512 million for fiscal year 22. The presidents answer questions from legislators, like what to do about students who have dropped out due to the pandemic. President Harreld says they don't know if or when those students will return. He also says the decline in birth rates, combined with fewer adults going to colleges, is another challenge that's coming.
We've stalled the percentage of U.S. citizens going to higher education. We're in the high 30s. Other countries are in the 40s and 50s percent. People have college degrees. We're in 38% roughly as a country. We stall for a whole set of reasons. And we could, again, spend another hour or two talking about that. But that is going to compound, coupled with the birth rate decline.
The education appropriations will likely have a proposal to bring before the full chamber in the second half of the legislative session. The governor's budget has a recommended increase of $15 million, which is $11 million less than what the universities are asking. The state has now passed the 5,000 mark for COVID-19-related deaths. Hundreds of new cases are reported most days of the week. The debate over requiring masks is something that's been going on everywhere since the summer. A bill comes before a House subcommittee that would prevent colleges and universities from implementing a mask requirement for students when they are off campus.
Institutions are prohibited from requiring students or employees to wear face masks or social distance off campus.
Republican Representative Joe Mitchell is chairing this three-member state government panel.
I have gotten example after example from students at Drake University, University of Iowa, Iowa State, on things that myself and certain colleagues of mine don't think are acceptable, right? Things like being on pictures off campus at certain rallies, at certain gatherings, being reported to the university. People feel like they're getting picked on, being singled out for not wearing masks and not, quote unquote, properly social gatherings.
Frank Chido lobbies for the Iowa Association of Independent Colleges and Universities. He is opposed to this bill and says some schools require students to abide by a code of conduct.
And that means what you do off campus, if you make a bad decision off campus, it affects you on campus. If you don't want to apply by that standard, then go to a different university or don't go, I guess. But your behavior and your decisions do have repercussions, especially in this situation.
Mary Braun with the Board of Regents is registered undecided on this bill. She says there are concerns about students traveling for school activities.
Also with athletics, when our teams are traveling off campus representing the university, whether it's NCAA rules, whether it's their conference rules, having to abide and abiding by the university policies when it comes to CDC regulations, wearing masks, social distancing, allowing that the teams will, anything they can do to so that they don't get sick and then the team is not going to be able to compete.
Democratic Representative Christina Bohannon opposes the bill. Bohannon lives in Iowa City, where the University of Iowa enrollment is around 30,000 students.
Everybody knows. You just have to set foot in a college town any day of the week almost and to see that the risk is from community spread outside of the university. And so to say that there's nothing that the university can do to have people take these precautions is crazy. It's just crazy.
But Representative Joe Mitchell, whose Eastern Iowa district includes Lee and Henry counties, says this bill is about student rights.
I heard this morning also from a student at the University of Iowa that said they had a page dedicated to being able to more than less tattletale on their fellow students if they weren't social distancing somewhere. That could be reported to the administration, which feels to me that, people can particularly be called out if they don't like somebody just for not wearing a mask or social distancing during this pandemic. And so then when I talk to people as well, college administrators, they say, well, it's not really about the students because we know scientifically that the students could be more affected by the flu than COVID. But we know older people, obviously, COVID is a much more dangerous thing. So it's about the faculty. So then we're talking about the faculty and their health. But back home, in my district, we have people that have to go to work when they work at the grocery store, the manufacturing plant, or the hospital in my district. And so then we're saying that we're going to put educators on this pedestal over every other worker. And so this is where the frustration in this bill comes from and the inconsistencies we see. And where we see that, students' rights are being violated by this.
This bill advances and can be considered by the full state government committee. This is the weekly legislative podcast, Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble.
Like what you're hearing? Make sure to follow Iowa Public Radio on social media for more episodes and share Under the Golden Dome with your friends. Use the hashtag UTGDPod.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association and by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, fostering causes that enrich the community, generate understanding, and cultivate compassion, including Above and Beyond Cancer.
This is a big one, guys. Thank you all for joining us. I see we have at least 56 participants, 58.
Republican Senator Kerry Kelker chairs a five-member Commerce subcommittee that proposes to invest millions of dollars in high-speed internet service over the next 3 years.
This is a big issue that's going to have a lot of table conversation. I'm just going to calm everybody down right now. We don't plan on ramming this through and shoving this out today.
What happens to most bills is determined at the subcommittee level by the majority of the panelists signing or refusing to sign. In some cases, it's determined before the meeting that a bill will not advance without further discussion and amendments.
This bill would amend the Broadband Facility Expansion Grant Program administered by OCIO to prescribe new matching percentages for grants.
OCIO is the Office of the Chief Information Officer. This government agency was created a few years ago to guide state government information technology resources. This bill is designed to help communication providers with costs to increase internet bandwidth in underserved areas.
This bill, it establishes a speed threshold of 100 over 100.
Logan Schein is Governor Reynolds' policy advisor.
And that's really making sure that well into the future, Iowa is set up for success and that we can handle the business that wants to come to the state.
Let's make sense of these numbers. 100 over 100. These numbers are about the speed of how much data can be delivered in a typical segment of internet service to, say, someone's home. It's measured in megabits. The first number is how much can be downloaded, and the second number is how much can be uploaded. So if someone says 100 over 20 or 120, this would translate to 100 megabits per second of download speed and 20 megabits per second of upload speed. This bill is proposing that 100 megabits be available as the download and the upload speed. Most internet service providers offer a lower bandwidth of upload speeds. This bill has three tiers of how much money an internet communications provider can receive based on their present bandwidth.
Tier one will receive a 75% state match based on the speed thresholds in that area. Tier two will receive 50%, and tier three will receive 35%.
Tier 1 has the most money available because this would be for areas that are slower, 25 megabits per second download and 3 megabits per second upload, or 24 over 3, or 24.3. Tier 2 is for bandwidth that is between 25 and 50 megabits per second down and 3 megabits per second up. Tier 3 is for 50 down, but not more than 8 up.
We have the second lowest broadband speeds in the country. One in five Iowans lacks the bandwidth required for something as basic as video chats. We need to ensure we're ready for the challenges of not just today, but for tomorrow, where telehealth, distance learning, telecommuting, those are all going to be the new normal.
Mike St. Clair lobbies for the Iowa Communications Alliance and is in support of this bill. He says this last year demonstrated a need for higher internet speeds with more people using video conferencing for work and school.
We have a situation where if you have 25.3 speeds, that might be great for grandma to do the occasional FaceTime with the grandkids. It's not so great for kids who are doing school and have video back and forth. So again, overall supportive of the bill. Look forward to working with everybody. And obviously this is a big part of it, but so is the funding side. So we look forward to your help on that end as well.
This bill provides $150 million of funding per year for 3 years. Doug Strike represents Mediacom, and they are registered undecided on this bill because wireless technology may have speed limitations in some areas.
The upload speed is about 20 megabit. So where we can get into areas very cost-effectively, reach out 7 to 10 miles with fixed wireless and not have to have a huge expenditure for that last mile initially, by utilizing fixed wireless, the terms of the bill with the 100 by 100 would restrict that application when we're using fixed wireless. So we would ask the committee members' consideration of looking at a 100 by 20 standard for fixed wireless, or looking at its application throughout.
A similar concern comes from the lobbyist for U.S. Cellular, Christopher Rance.
Increasing the speed requirement to 100 over 100 effectively prevents the ability of wireless broadband participation in the program for many of those unserved areas of the state and will likely increase costs to the state. A speed of 100 over 100 would require wireless millimeter wave spectrum, i.e. those small cells, which are not conducive to rural areas because of where they have to be located.
Cellular companies across the country are in the early stages of deploying 5G or fifth generation broadband cellular networks. They use transmitters with a shorter physical range, and this could require more resources in rural areas to achieve higher speeds of internet service.
My expectation is if we're opening up a whole new pool of money, we're probably going to have a whole lot more interest.
Democratic Senator Zach Walls supports the idea of this bill, but wants more clarity on how communications providers could qualify for funding.
I just want to make sure that there's some review process in place. We're talking about a huge amount of taxpayer money that's going to be getting out the door here.
The funding is $450 million over 3 years. Republican Senator Jason Schultz says he wants communication providers to first consider what they can do without taking money from this plan.
I'm interested in ideas that would help installers put in broadband and providers to put it in, knowing that the 450 is over here, but not planning on using it. We know it's there. If we need some of it, we know it's there. But I'd like to start the conversation on things that can be done that open the gates and allow infrastructure to be put in place.
Knowing this bill would not advance, the chair, Senator Kerry Kelker, announces the next steps for this proposal.
Thank you all. We are out of time. We should have known that this is a big project, but that's okay. That means that there's good conversation that I feel like we need to continue. So we will schedule another sub, try maybe later in the week. But if we could continue these informal conversations to keep everything going is what my recommendation is. Yep. So please reach out to us five senators to keep those the process rolling, and then look forward to a continued sub meeting of this.
This is a bill that came from the governor's office. It's a proposal she highlighted in her condition of the state address that received wide bipartisan support. Another bill from the governor's office would allow women to purchase hormonal contraceptives without a prescription. It would allow contraceptives, such as the birth control pill, to be purchased for 27 months. After that, a woman needs to consult with a physician, which is what has to happen now to receive any hormonal contraceptives. Although this bill has often been referred to as over-the-counter contraception, it is not, and qualifies to be covered by insurance. This bill is now eligible for House debate after passing the Human Resources Committee. This is Under the Golden Dome, a weekly podcast about Iowa's legislature. More reporting about the many movements at the Capitol can be found at our website, iowapublicradio.org, and they're written by our State House reporter, Katerina Sestarik. Script editing for this episode comes from Michael Leland. Digital support from Lindsay Moon and Matt Siren. Make sure you don't miss a single episode of this podcast, and one way to make sure you are here from week to week is to subscribe using your favorite podcast listening program. I'm John Pimble. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.